Hello and welcome to Point of View Podcasts, a series of conversations from Kaufman Hall and Associates. Rapid changes in today's healthcare environment are driving the need for hospitals, health systems, and other healthcare providers to rethink traditional approaches to care delivery. While other industries have long adopted systematic innovation techniques, such approaches are relatively new to healthcare. In the second of our two-part series on innovation, David Crosswhite, a senior vice president in the strategy practice of Kaufman Hall, joins us to discuss what healthcare providers can learn from innovation practices in other industries. David, how does the pace of innovation in healthcare compare to other industries?
Well, I think there's a couple of ways to look at that. When you look at it from a standpoint of innovation in the science of medicine, there have actually been some fairly impressive and rapid changes and evolution in the industry. When you think about pharmaceuticals, when you think about genomics, when you think about medical devices, prosthetics, in the science of medicine, there's been fairly impressive progress and speed of change. When you think about innovation in the model of delivery of care, it's probably been a bit less fast-paced than what's occurred in many other industries. If you compare it to consumer products, if you compare it to electronics, if you compare it to, you know, all the different facets of connectivity that are now available, it's really not gone at such a brisk pace. It is, however, something where pressure is now being applied pretty heavily with legislative changes, with payment reform, with the entrance of new and non-traditional competitors when it comes to delivery of retail care with the retail drug chains, when it comes to access alternatives that are introduced by telemedicine, when it comes to transparency that tools such as CastLight and many others have introduced. The model is now being pressured, and I think we are beginning to see, and we're going to continue to see, a more rapid pace of change by necessity.
Why is it especially important for healthcare providers to evaluate opportunities for innovation in today's healthcare environment?
Changes in delivery of care are happening whether you're on board with that or not. And so we would argue you want to get on board with that. And in fact, you'd arguably want to lead in that area. The changes are being driven, amongst other things, by legislative and payment reform. That is driving a trend of more and more high deductible plans. And so now patients have more and more out of pocket and they're behaving like consumers. That is leading to a lot of the things that we talked about earlier with regard to transparency tools, access alternatives. These are, in many cases, non-traditional players innovating in the space, reacting to those rather meaningful changes. And so the provider community is going to have to act based on that as well.
What are some proven principles and techniques applied to develop and drive an innovation agenda?
Systematic innovation work and processes and approaches have been leveraged by a lot of other industries for quite some time now. I think some of the most basic principles that have been most helpful to them, one is that of selecting strategic focus areas, whether that's innovation in access in the provider world, whether that's innovation in care delivery of a particular therapeutic area, whether that's innovation in the patient experience overall, whether that's innovating to drive total cost of care improvement, but a specific focus area is particularly helpful. And the other principle that has gotten quite a bit of results and traction is that of, if you want to get to new answers, you need to ask some new questions. Looking for new perspectives from which you can then identify new opportunities, whether that's unmet needs of patients slash consumers, whether that's even unarticulated needs of patients, whether that's orthodoxies or conventions, if you will, in the care delivery model, and being able to then challenge and explicitly look for productive overturning of those conventions or orthodoxies. All those are examples of new perspectives that help you ask new questions and therefore get to new answers. In doing that, you can identify a lot of new opportunities for yourself and then look for the strategic themes and threads that you can drive in your provider model and therefore get a lot of traction from an innovation standpoint.
What are some of the attributes of successful innovation systems or processes utilized in other industries?
In many other industries, the innovation model has a couple of particular attributes. Number one, they like to think about the problem in a very holistic fashion. They like to utilize an innovation approach or a series of tools and approaches that are very end-to-end in nature. Everything from explicitly and deliberately looking for new perspectives, ways to take those new perspectives and turn them into new ideas and opportunities that could be useful to the organization, looking for the strategic threads or themes or the innovation domains that they want to pursue, the series of innovations that address a particular problem that they're looking to point the innovation effort at, to picking out the early opportunities and turning them into actionable, resourceable, business-cased opportunities for the organization to pursue, and even experimentation techniques that help them to take opportunities that are actionable opportunities, but they'd like to take out some of the unknowns or de-risk and optimize by way of very focused tests. That type of end-to-end approach has served organizations quite well and avoids the trap of thinking about innovation as new ideas only or a commercialization exercise only. One last point on that is they can think about that end-to-end way of looking at the problem in a modular fashion. It may be that you just need some of the front-end, if you will, new perspectives. It may be that you simply need some risk mitigation and management techniques on the back end. So if you think of it as holistic and modular, that's been quite successful.
And what are some examples of innovation outside of healthcare?
There's the obvious examples that a lot of people like to point to in terms of, you know, the tech revolution of that Google has introduced and disrupting Microsoft, or Facebook and social media revolution. In the provider world, I think some nice examples to look at are actually some of the longstanding organizations who have legacy models, and then they've been disrupted and they've fought their way through that. So I think about examples as simple as Crayola, 100-year-old company, and they start to come under the attack of, you know, big box retail, globalization, and the iPad revolution. And over time, they need to address that, right? So they need to think about reinvention of the children's arts and stationery aisle. And they really have done a nice job of looking for problems to solve that many people didn't even think of as their problem to solve, and going ahead and innovating against that problem statement. Organizations like Whirlpool, who have led that industry in driving away from the commoditization that was going on in that industry for so many years, and have looked for really productive changes in terms of going to different areas of the house or different rooms in the house, like the garage, or if it's in their international businesses, thinking about appliances that have a much better, if you will, cultural fit and need fit for China or India, rather than just a stripped down version of a North American laundry machine. One of their big insights was that of, one, lots of appliances actually moved to the garage. Number two, the garage is often the domain of the man of the home. And they actually started to look at some of the problems in the garage. And one of the problems in the garage that was unsolved was that of organization. Garages are often a mess. And so they came up with entire lines of product known now as Gladiator Garage Works. And that is a set of appliances made fit for purpose for the garage, coupled with very modular storage solutions. It was for them and for even for that industry quite an innovation to get away from laundry room only and kitchen only and to other spaces of the house with very innovative fit-for-purpose solutions. One of the pieces of evidence of the innovation is that there were many people who followed with Me Too knockoffs. That's one measure of the success of a product, is how many people follow.
What can healthcare providers learn from these examples?
We've talked about a few of the principles that are helpful to organizations driving innovation into their model. And I'd say from some of the examples we just talked about, a couple to emphasize are that of looking at customer or consumer needs, and not only unmet and articulated needs, but unmet and even unarticulated needs. Unarticulated needs and applying techniques for looking for those is maybe one of the most effective innovation techniques that is commonly applied across many industries. What folks wouldn't even know to tell you that they need or want. And when it gets to the commercialization of new models, whether it's new offerings or new delivery models, the agile implementation techniques, meaning, you know, looking for things you know you don't know that constitute risk and uncertainty for the particular model or the particular opportunity, and ways to quickly and cheaply and smartly close that knowledge gap.
So how do organizations go about identifying unmet or, as you say, even unarticulated needs that patients may have?
There's a host of tools and approaches one can apply. Just to pick a couple of examples, ethnography, so observation and inference. Often you can learn a lot by watching what people do and watching, if you will, for the inherent problems that they're solving for themselves or the inherent problems that they're improvising to solve, and then thinking about what kinds of needs those represent. And then often, as if you have the opportunity for a bit of follow-up questioning to make sure that the inferences that you're making are correct, legitimate, valid. That's one technique. There are various others. Sometimes just going and living the experience yourself. If you haven't lived that experience, whatever the experience may be, it could be some experience in care delivery that you've never been through yourself, and going and experiencing it yourself and getting a visceral understanding, not just a data-based or fact-based understanding, which is incredibly helpful and important, but just a visceral living it understanding is also another technique. And to be clear, probably some of the most effective organizations from a perspective development and then use standpoint do both. They get the facts and the data and the experiences, and then the juxtaposition of the two are what they use to develop their perspectives about unmet and unarticulated needs that they then look to solve for.
If you could offer two take-home must-remember messages for executives and trustees, what would they be?
I think message number one would be that systematic innovation is not an oxymoron. It is a discipline that is possible to achieve. Many industries have been driving in that direction for quite some time now, you know, a decade to a decade and a half. Point two is to get traction on the development of your innovation capability. Think about it holistically. Think about not just ideas, think about new questions or new perspectives that can help you get to new ideas. Think about new ideas that are strategically aligned and therefore can get traction in the organization as opposed to one-offs. Think about commercialization and the development of actionable business plans from those strategic agendas, and think about agile implementation and experimentation techniques. So the discipline is achievable, especially if you think about the discipline in an end-to-end fashion. That's how it gets the most traction.
That was David Crosswhite, a senior vice president in the strategy practice of Kauffman Hall. You can hear the first in our two-part series on innovation and all our other Point of View podcasts at kauffmanhall.com.